Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am completely blessed in the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, we are excited. We've been doing a couple of different shows without Joe. So, you know, why the cat's away, the mice will play. But no, just kidding. No, we're excited to still get some word out to you. But Joe is actually in Idaho. He's going to be preaching at a local home fellowship that we have going there through our live stream family. And also, guys, if you are in these three places, because that's the only place right now that we have live stream families in Texas, I believe Belverde, Texas. Yep. That's the first time I've said the name Belverde, Texas, over there with the Jackson 5. Just kidding. They don't like being called that, but they are the Jackson family over there. Former Navy SEAL, James Jackson, a good buddy of the show, good buddy of us. And also the Von F family, Mary and Keith up there in New York. We have just some awesome brothers and sisters that some we've gotten to know personally, some people we know like in Idaho, some family members that moved out there, and then also people we've gotten to know just online, and hopefully, you know, eventually we get to come out to New York as well. You know, you just got to invite there the Von Fs.
It is a really good community of believers through the live stream on Facebook on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. So if you're at home for some reason, not in a fellowship on a Sunday, maybe you're sick or something, or just too tired to get up, you know, log into the Blessed Hope Chapel Facebook page and hop on the live stream there. There's a great community of believers there that talk to each other during the services. Yeah. And ask questions and encourage one another. It's really awesome.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point. And if you guys didn't know, I'm usually, or Tony sometimes adds as well, but I'm usually the one on there commenting back and forth with you guys. Sometimes I'll try to, you know, keep up with the whole message, leaving scriptures up there. We've had hundreds of comments sometimes on messages, you know, so, and you can always, guys, you can check those out and listen to them later. And so what I wanted to do, since I don't have Joe with me here, he's with us in spirit, but he's not with us today. I am excited. I'm going to go into one of his messages that I was listening to the other day, and I was like, man, this is a good message. I want to talk a little bit about this and just kind of exegete a little bit from it and talk about some of the parts of the messages that he gave. Now, his message was called The 20 Reasons to Hate Sin. And if you know anything about Joe, you know that he gave more than 20 reasons to hate sin. And not only that, it was a two-part message for The 20 Reasons to Hate Sin. And this is the clips that I'm going to show you are from simply the first part of this. And you can search that on the Blessed Hope Chapel podcast show, because not podcast show, but it's a podcast feed from all of our Wednesday and Sunday messages. And we have a ton of messages on there, guys. What's cool is now with Good Fight Ministries, with Blessed Hope, between the two ministries combining together, we are putting out 7 different teachings a week, from a half hour to an hour and 15 minutes online for you guys to benefit from. And so I'm really praying in Jesus' name that you guys will benefit from these things, you'll be grown and edified and continue in God's word. And I hope that we can keep putting these things out. And we've been putting a lot of pressure on Joe to always be here with us and doing topics. And Tony's been working really hard. We got the Good Fight radio station coming out. But we are really excited about everything that's going out, because that's what we've been trying to do. We've been praying for years. How can we get more info out there? How can we share more videos? And we're currently building a studio literally right next to us. The electrician is putting stuff in right now as we speak. So we're really excited to get more stuff out to you guys. I'm really blessed by all you guys' support. It's so huge. You guys don't realize when you're just sharing a live feed, when you're just sharing one of these podcast shows, we really, really, really are blessed. And that isn't just simply touting a voice, that is actually telling you the truth. We are blessed by you guys. But anyways, after all that long intro, which we don't typically do, we typically get right into it, I am going to play a short clip from Joe's message, 20 Reasons to Hate Sin, Part 1, from April 28th of this year. It's a great message, guys, and I really encourage you guys to listen to it. But I'm going to play some short clips and then dig into it with you guys.
Repenting. Read James when he talks about repentance. He talks about travailing over your sin and being upset with your wickedness and coming to hate your sin and turn to the Lord. We need to hate our sin. And we're not going to turn from something unless we hate it. In fact, it's interesting. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord, listen to this.
Now, I wanted to talk about something real quick before he digs into that. I love, love, love reading from James. So I wanted to give just a short little background on who James is before we listen to any more of the clips. But a couple of things. One, the hating of sin. I think that's a huge deal, and it's something that is totally amiss in the church. And so that's why I wanted to pick on this, because this is a Sunday message at our home fellowship, and we're talking about two back-to-back teachings on hating sin. And what I love is that if you listen to that entire teaching, the reason for hating sin is because of your love for Christ. That is the goal. The goal of our instruction is to have a sincere faith. And I believe a sincere faith has a sincere love that comes from God alone. If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will be able to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so a little bit of background on James after I just give you a little bit of prelude into the message. Okay, James is the brother of Jesus, okay? And that's actually what Josephus, the Jewish historian at the, around that time, called him. James, the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ. If you guys know anything about James, he wrote a powerful, powerful letter. And Joe's going to quote from it as well. And I love James. I love how staunch he is in his preaching against sin. I love how avid he is about the word of God over and over again. I absolutely love it. And he lost his head for it, okay? In terms of church history, one of the most solidified facts is the fact that James was put to death in Jerusalem. Okay, we see James in the book of Acts chapter 21. We see James, and a lot of people would also equate what's going on in Acts chapter 15 in the Jerusalem Council to James as well. But we so clearly see him, and we see that he was killed because of his stances. And what I love is that James wasn't always this staunch believer in his brother. In Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35, and John chapter 7, verse 5, we see he's a doubter. He's not someone who was believing unto the Lord. But guess what? Something's really beautiful. His name is mentioned in the resurrection text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I believe it's mentioned just as long as Cephas or Peter because of his transformation. That's my personal opinion. His transformation and the fact that he was a leader in the church at that time when those things were written. So, if he's a leader and it was used, I just think it's awesome. So, I think we can gather a lot from his text. And so, Joe said, go read James. So, I'm going to read from James chapter 4, all right? Because I absolutely love it. James chapter 3 is a lot about the tongue and warning about the tongue and how wicked it is, how it's set on flame from hell, like, I mean, it's a serious, serious text. And then we read in James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. I love that, guys, especially because Joe's last message this last Sunday, I'm sorry, two Sundays ago, and also a teaching series we just gave out, a 30-minute episode on the podcast show about prayer. I think that encompasses a ton of what we were talking about. You're asking for your own pleasures. You're not asking because of the will of God. And so it's really, really, really important that we recognize, wait a second, where's my motives? What is my motives for this prayer? You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. What is the purpose of your prayer? Is the purpose of your prayer for your own pleasure or is it for the will of God? Is the purpose of your prayer to see people come to the kingdom? To edify the body? Or is it for your own pleasures? God, I just want this giant house. I just want to be able to sit in this.
Makes me think of the prosperity teachers, and it kind of shatters the whole hyper grace, way of thinking as well, because he really speaks against a lot of things. And
oh, this whole, yeah, it gets worse. It gets worse for you.
Well, not for some of us.
If you're in hyper grace, it's going to get worse for you. All right. Verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. This is the hyper grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's the greater grace? It's to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the humble. It's not to the guy praying for the private jet so he can get away from the demons, according to him. Okay? Guys, this is something that is so, so important. And to reckon, the reason why I love studying doctrine, okay? And I believe if you're a Christian, you should be a theologian, period. I don't think you have any other choice. But when it comes to studying these things, understanding who James is and who's writing this, I'm like, wow, I love to see the perspective he's coming from, because God's ultimately the one who wrote it, right? It says every single word of scripture is theanoustos. God breathed. He's the one who breathed it onto paper. If I wrote notes for this show, I wrote them in my notes pad on my iPhone, okay? But guess what? My iPhone isn't the one who dictated it and wrote it. I did. I was the mind behind all of that writing. In the same way, God, even though he used James, right? He used Paul, John, Peter, all these different avenues that God chose to use, all they are different colors of the crayon. And I love to see that. So I love to see this color that James is here. I love to read from him and see, wow, and to think how much of a man of God he was after the resurrection, you know, doubter, 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 just like Thomas, right? And then boom, after the resurrection, wait a second, this is the linchpin of our faith, right? Right? Without the resurrection, we're to be pitied, right? Without the resurrection, your faith is in vain. This resurrection changed everything. And I love that he's listed there. And then we read these things. He's serious about your walk. You want to talk about a greater grace? Because you hear that all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm hyper grace, but how much more grace? I want more and more grace. Yeah, this is the true grace of God. That grace that you gave is the grace of license.
Well, right where you stopped in the very next verse, 7, submit therefore to God.
Yeah, amen.
Usually that's missing from a lot of the hyper grace people. Submit there to God. Well, what does it mean to submit to God? Well, you have the whole counsel of God, everything that he teaches.
Amen.
And then it's not burdensome, like the scriptures say.
It's not burdensome. Yeah, I love that. That's a great text. 1 John chapter 5. And now you're going to get me on a tangent. Thanks, Tony. But when I was a brand new believer, you know, we all get different ways that we get stumbled trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say there? And for me, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to understand. I know, reading through the epistles, I know. And this, guys, I'm telling you, like 3 weeks into my faith, all right? I'm like, Lord, I just want to understand better. How do I walk with you? And who are those who believe? How can I tell someone? It says in 1 John chapter 3 that the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. They're easy to see in some ways. You know, some is wheat and tares, but ultimately those who practice righteousness are righteous as he is righteous, but you who practice sin is of the devil. That's what 1 John 3 says. And it says, for the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. All right. So I want to say, Lord, I'm trying to understand. And James talks about this. The demons believe and they shudder. I'm like, I'm trying to put all this together. They believe, the Bible says in John 3:16, right? What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him, right? So believe. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to put this together. And I literally was reading 1 John, and I hadn't got to chapter 5 yet. And chapter 5 was the one that stuck out to me. Who are the children of God? Those who obey his commands. And you know, maybe for you that doesn't ring off bells, but for me it was like an answer to prayer. Like, Lord, I totally understand. Those are the children of God. It's not believing that, it's believing in. If I believe in what Jesus said, I'm going to follow what he does. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Those are the words of Jesus. So when I look at those things, I say, wow, I want to follow Jesus. What is the thing that leads me to repentance? His kindness. I recognize his kindness. And when I recognize his kindness, guess what? I want to be obedient to him, okay? My kids, All right. When they want to be obedient to me, it's to show me love. It's not because I'm, you know, going to throttle them or something. You know, it's because they're obedient because they love me and they know, hey, this would hurt your heart if I did this to you. And the same thing with me. I want to follow the Lord because I don't want to hurt his heart. I spent the first 21 years of my life doing that. So I don't want to hurt his heart. I don't want to go against his word. And there is, hey, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, right? And there's a lot of that. But here, let me just keep reading. As he said, verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, a lot of people stop right there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And I mentioned on this on a previous podcast, but I really love 1 John 2 and James 3, 2 as a verse to also not only negate sinless perfectionism, okay, because that's a heresy as well. Okay, that's a really dangerous heresy that you can be perfect in here right now on earth, that you're walking in perfection. Okay, that's a big, big problem too. But I also want to recognize the seriousness of sin. And I believe that's what 1 John does. And I believe that's what James does. While James is talking like this, guys, be miserable and mourn and weep. Cleanse your hearts, your hands, you filthy sinners, right? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's hardcore. But James 3:2, the very chapter before, speaking of the tongue, we all stumble in many ways. Jesus said in Luke 17, that stumbling, right, is unavoidable. Stumbling blocks. You're going to stumble. It's unavoidable. All right. But there is a big difference between the stumble and the practice, right? There's an obvious difference between the stumble and the practice of sin. I believe 1 John does a great job of explaining that. Okay. If you think that every single time you take a step to the left or a step to the right, that you fall away from the faith, that's putting the onus on yourself. That's not putting the onus on what Jesus has done on the cross. Okay, we recognize that if we are his children, we will walk in his ways. And if we are hardened, and Joe's going to get into this, so I'm not going to get into it too much. If we're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, that is a major, major problem. And so you don't want to have that happen. I will show you my faith by my works. Okay, that's the kind of stuff that James says. So I want to make sure I'm in line with scripture. I want to make sure that I'm in line with what God's word has to say here. I want to make sure that I'm not trying to be a sinless perfectionist. Okay, we want to try to be perfect, but preach sinless perfectionism. I want to make sure I preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of grace, but a true grace, not one that would give you a license to sin, as it says Jesus' brother, Jude, a license of sin. It warns that those people have been marked out for a condemnation that would offer up this license. Okay, so we want to be very serious about these things. I'm going to play another clip from Joe, and then we'll get right back into it right here.
Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord, listen to this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you truly fear the Lord? You're called over and over and over again. The scriptures command us to fear God. Oh, that's the Old Testament. No, it's the Old and the New Testament. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus said, don't fear man, he can destroy the body, but fear God, he can destroy your body and soul in hell. Amen? Well, that's during Jesus' ministry. Some hyper-dispensationalists will say, but later on, you know, God's mellower. No, God's still serious. In Paul, the apostle of grace, in Philippians 2:12, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In Revelation chapter 14, an angel flies to the mid-heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. You know the first words out of his mouth? When he preaches the everlasting gospel at the end of this age, fear God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If I truly love God, and I truly fear him for who he is, I'm going to hate evil and hate that which is opposition to him. The reason you want to grow in your love for God is because you want to grow because he's God. He made you. He's good. He created you in his image. He loves you. He gave his son for you for all those reasons. Amen. But also it'll help you hate evil.
I think that's so huge, guys. I think that there's a number of things that he talks about there. And it's cool because it kind of goes pretty quickly through those. But I absolutely love one of the warnings he has is that it seems in this social gospel time that we live is that we need to separate this Old Testament from the New Testament. There's this new gospel of grace that Jesus came with. And it seems so unbiblical because it is. That's exactly what it is. And in fact, you know where it has its roots? In Marcionism, in Gnosticism. This unhitching of the whole Old Testament, that you make it out, make the Old Testament God separate and make him a new God is what you do. And that's absolutely heartbreaking. And Marcionism was one of the early forms of Gnosticism, and it was one of the absolute biggest opposition in the early church. Almost every single early church father wrote about it. In fact, speaking of Marcion, Polycarp, who was the disciple of John, actually called him the firstborn of Satan. It was this unhitching of the Old Testament God and taking on the teachings that he liked about Jesus and running with them. I'm going to read an excerpt from the book Heresies and How to Avoid Them, and you tell me if this sounds similar to something you might have heard recently. Quote, "For him, Marcion, there was a fundamental contradiction between law and love, righteousness and grace. Marcion thought that true Christianity was flawed by the incompatibilities at the heart of its teaching. His solution was radical. Nothing less than a restatement of faith would do. And for Marcion, that restatement had to focus on what for him was the essential gospel, the love, mercy, and compassion displayed in the life and teachings of Jesus. This, for him, was all that was necessary. It was the blueprint for a new and pure humanity. There was no other truly Christian foundation for belief or morality." You know what we call those today? Red letter Christians, right? That's what we call those today, red letter Christians. But this was the main attack. I mean, you're talking about the Apostle John's disciple, Polycarp. And what does he call him? The firstborn of Satan. That's because it's sneaky, guys. This stuff is sneaky. This sin is sneaky. We'll just give a bunch of grace and love. Why do you think Jude warned about it? Why do you think he said that they have been marked out for this condemnation, those who trade the grace of our God for a license of immorality and deny the despotin, the despot, the master who bought them, Jesus Christ? That is exactly what he says happens. So we need to recognize, wait a second, is what I believe somewhat Gnostic? Because that's what's going on here, guys. I'm telling you right now, I could read that quote. All right, I could read that quote and implement that into so many teachers that are on TV, that are on the radio, where they just preach this ooey gooey gospel. But you do not read the rest of the New Testament. Do not read the book of Revelation. Do not read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He comes to bring vengeance on those who dwell on the earth. Do you not see these things? Do you not realize that the unhitching of that Old Testament is unhitching of Jesus? Over and over again, when they quote the Graphe, the scriptures, many times outside of when Peter talks about the apostle Paul and his writings, and Paul quoting Luke, a lot of times we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. Who did Jesus quote over and over and over again? A lot of times the books of Moses. This to me sounds so much like the social gospel. You know, it's heartbreaking to me. And a lot of times it's because nonsense liberal jargon sneaks in. First it starts in the emergent church, then it gets put on a meme, and now a pastor says it. And you hear it taught, and you don't realize the slippery snake that comes in through this. This is the firstborn of Satan, according to Polycarp. And guys, I would bet you that there are a lot more churches in America that, guess what, that would line up with that teaching more than the teaching of Scripture, that throw away the Old Testament. Well, we don't really need it. You know, Jesus just quoted from it exhaustively, but we don't really need it.
Well, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, right? Well, his word isn't just the Old or the New Testament. It's the Old Testament as well. He's the Word become flesh. That's the entire word. That's why, like you said, he quoted a lot. Pretty much all of it was the Old Testament, obviously, back then. But
Yeah.
That's quoting from the word. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. That's the whole counsel of God, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. And what did Jesus also say? You're going to throw out sanctification. Guess what? Because what did Jesus pray before he was taken? John 17:17. Lord, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And so if you want to throw away the Old Testament and you want to unhitch it, and you only want to have the little nice parts about Jesus that you decide, you're really just forming an idol. You're making some weird Jesus picture that the Catholics do in their church. Okay, but even worse, except
if you... Little buffet, take what I want.
You take what I want, and if you really looked at him and you actually formed it to what you were building him into your convictions. That's what actually takes place. And it's heartbreaking to me to see that sort of nonsense and for people not to recognize it. And one thing that Joe talked about there was hating sin. I actually had my son memorize, we try to do at least one or two scriptures a week, and Romans 12:9 was the scripture I had him memorize. And it says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Now, he said hate because he doesn't understand the word abhor, okay? But it says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. And now, there's a lot there, even though it's such a small verse. There's a lot there. Because what it's saying is hypocritical love is that which does not hate evil. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to hate the sin that put him on the cross. If you love Jesus, you're going to hate the hypocrisy. So many people want to come, and you hear this a lot in the Hebrew roots, and I've heard this a ton. I think there was a whole video about how Jesus hates religion, and it went viral online, and I saw a lot of people sharing it, and I'm like, guys, this is really not very smart, okay? James, speaking of James, 1:27 said, pure and undefiled religion is this, right? Taking care of orphans and widows. So you're throwing it around and like, Jesus hates religion? Oh, that's weird. And a lot of people say that. Oh, Jesus hated organized religion. Is that true? Or did Jesus hate hypocrisy? When he called people brood of vipers, right? When he called them, you know, twice over the children of the devil, right? Over and over again, it was because of their hypocrisy. Whitewashed tombs. It's because of their hypocrisy. That's what he hated, okay? Not the fact that their religion happened to be organized. He hated the fact that it was hypocritical, that the love was hypocritical. And that's exactly what Paul says in Romans 12:9. And so it's a verse that I wrote on my heart, and I was like, I want my son to have this verse written on his heart too. I don't care if he's 6 years old. I'm going to tell him the truth. I want him to know and be able to explain the truth to other people that no, it's not love to watch someone walk themselves down the road of hell and not warn them against it. Well, I don't want to offend. Oh, you know, I don't really, you know, I just want to love Jesus. I don't really want to talk about sin. Well, hypocritical love is that which does not hate evil. And actually the word abhor, that's a stronger word than hate, right? I want to abhor that which is evil. I want to hate the thing that put Jesus on the cross. Guys, when you look back at your testimony, for you who have come to Christ, when you look back at your testimony and recognize the sins that you have committed, do you hate them? Do you want those dead men, do you want to render it dead? Because I know I want to. I know I hate the sin that I committed against my Savior. I hate the fact that he had to go to that cross for me. And so I want you to hate that sin. Love without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. And these are the reasons to hate sin. This has been Chad Davidson and Tony Palacio of Good Fight Ministries. And you've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.